brought to you by Carol Beck and broadcasting live from the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, the Deck at 311 North Market Street, Suite 200 in Dallas, Texas. It's time for Career Advancement Radio, providing information to help enhance your career. Now here's your host, Dr. Marilyn Carroll.
Good morning, Dallas, and welcome to our show today. Today's show is a dedication to also, not really dedication, but something that is close and dear to me. I had someone to write me about being bullied in the workplace, being talked to any kind of way and by others doing things that providing a bullying mentality as it relates to work. And we do see the rise of the workplace bully happening in many organizations today. The individual wrote and stated, again, this individual does not want their name revealed, and nor sex, due to the fact that the situation may present some identity to who they are in the organization I think they work in. But even though we would never go close to that or revealing that type of information, our show is for educational purposes, as well as to connect others to tools and resources they can use to help them in their careers or companies and providing services that they have to provide to others, or as well as us making connections with companies that we, our sponsors, can do business with. So I start with you before talking about this topic today, a quote from William Penn. And the quote reads, "Right is right, even if everyone is against it. And wrong is wrong, even if everyone is for it." So this quote, as we'll go through information today and find out that the rise of workplace bullying is typical of organizations that maybe unbeknownst to them have practices that promote workplace bullying. And so you may be asking yourself, what is workplace bullying? Well, workplace bullying is considered to be one of the most stressful occurrences in the workplace and an example of a dysfunctional or toxic relationship that has damaging effects on really an individual's physical and psychological health. We have found that through research that workplace bullying can result in adverse consequences for individuals and organizations as well as the economy. Many targets we found in our research on workplace bullying have been found to suffer from negative health effects such as sleep loss and illness, as well as absenteeism, turnover, decreased organizational commitment, job satisfaction, and productivity, all which can lead to poor performance, poor growth, and poor outcomes for organizations. As a result, poor performance for workplace, individual performance, growth, and organizational performance are a result of workplace bullying. So why in the world, people, would we not nip this in the bud or not nip it in the bud at its start or of rearing its ugly head and stop it in its tracks? Or why do we let it continue on when it can lead to so much financial cost to the organization as well as the individual involved? For example, in our particular person, they were at the top of their game and they constantly receive appraisals for their performance from leadership. In addition, this person stated that they performance expectations of the team. They help meet those expectations while providing creative solutions to help further the growth of the organization. The person was popular. Why are they having challenges now with workplace bullying? Well, there's so many things. When I delved into this and actually started writing a book on this, on workplace bullying, but I have not finished that book. I'm about 8,000 words into this book. But why do bullies win? Well, one known fact that we have is they like playing the game. They know how to play the game of the organization. And in order to play the game, many times they must become the bully in order to get for self-preservation. They play the bully. They put a rigid game in motion and that the rest of us find ourselves playing badly. The only one to escape the bully's control is the bully. And if you want to escape, you must know the rules of the game and the strategy to winning. But many of us don't want to play that game because we are not that vicious in nature. It's like the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. In each of us, two natures are at war, the good and the evil. And that's what happens in the bully mindset. All our lives, the fight goes on between the two personalities, and one of them must conquer the other, as we saw in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. But in one hand lied the power of the to choose, and we must want most to be who we are and what we are. But bullies don't know that. They don't understand that. There was another story shared by this individual that the person knew and had manipulated herself into divulging information about the work environment and the leaders that repeated out of context made her seem like or him seem like uncommitted to the mission and the values of the organization. They discussed some information and that's when things started. So the person had been around for a while. However, the bully. However, that person lacked the skills, knowledge, and personality to manage people. And this is what we see where workplace bullying is especially disruptive in the organization. They lack knowledge, skills, and the personality to manage people in an organization. So they should never be in a management role or position. They have the power to explain or captivate the audience that they have to report to because people have put them in place. And a lot of times managers stand behind, the leaders of those managers stand behind the people that they put into that place to manage individuals. And therefore, things don't get done or changed. And that bully continues on until something drastic happens that could really be very costly to the organization. So change is good in changing those people out of those roles. But many times, like I said, there's a invested capital that one has that is sometimes one that has it causes other individuals to look at themselves as to why they hired that individual and what was wrong with them. But we all make mistakes, people. We all make mistakes in relationships, and hiring of another person is about a relationship. And many of us make those mistakes, and it's okay to make a mistake as long as we correct it. Change competency is one of the things that it's that we can see needed for success in the 21st century for both employers and employees. In order to be able to change, in order to be able to maneuver in these organizations, self-knowledge and communication in all forms, ethics, diversity, culture, and how to work within teams and why we work within teams is needed. Technology has provided us with the ability to do more with less energy, time, physical space, and human effort. But at the same time, it has created a greater demand that we work with people who may not necessarily have the right social skills and abilities to be in teams where they need to come together and work with others. The bigger the project, the bigger the team, the bigger the efforts. So in order to remain successful, organizations must make sure that people that are leading things have the right people knowledge, skill knowledge, and abilities to master the components needed to work with individuals on in a team to get the best out of them and not to make the worst case scenario and really be disruptive to your team and cause friction and chaos. Those things do not work. So whether we've had, we've had a lot of individuals over time, but I didn't see in my research in writing the book, I didn't see a lot of laws created around bullying in the workplace. I saw only two states, I believe it was California and another state, that had rules and regulations around workplace bullying. And that in itself was not enough. And I've seen one attorney who's worked on that. And he's had some pretty success on workplace bullying, but it needs to have a lot more work, especially in the total type of environment that we work in today, because we're seeing a lot more bullying occurring from people. And again, bullying is a term used to describe disruptive behaviors that negatively affect a collaborative working environment. And it impacts many, many, many professions. It erodes trusting, collaboration, resulting in a culture of fear. And there are companies, and I talk to many of my friends, they work for companies that have a culture of fear of what you do or who you say what to or how you react to certain things. That if it's wrong, then they are going to be ridiculed or beat down about it through verbal confrontation with individuals or the ability to not make it to the next level. I mean, things are cut off. And somebody who likes something, if they're not strong enough, will react to this workplace bullying, and it could cause a massive disruption in success. A culture based on fear contributes to a working environment primed for organizational breakdown. And people who come into the organization new, they can identify with, especially if they don't have the skill set and they've been to many different jobs already, they don't have the skill set necessary to work with the workplace bullying. I mean, to master all the other things, they will master that which is easiest for them. And that bullying is a very easy concept for them. They've been accustomed to using that to their advantage in other organizations. They will hop on this in a minute and they will come in and create total chaos in your organization. So we have to be mindful of that. And as workers, we have to be mindful of how to identify the bully in the workplace and how to discuss with those individuals that we need to talk to stop it in its track. So if you're receiving harassing or offending or being socially excluded from everyone or negative affected by someone's work tasks, this could mean that you may be in a bullying situation. So you need to understand it and be mindful of it and work on resources to eliminate that process or behavior from your work environment, or you need to move on to some other company. Companies really do need to train individuals. I think there's a healthy workplace bill that's out there that I research, and the definition of it is verbatim. It contains information that's needed to prevent workplace bullying or harassment and that information. And also a good training and education program required by companies to along with the sexual harassment cases that we see. This one here is a lot more. You got to start at the top and make sure your organization is clean there. And as shareholders, if it starts at the top that there's a workplace bullying process happening, then you need to go in as investors in that company. As a board of directors, you need to work with your board of directors to make sure that the company is not necessarily condoning workplace bullying in that establishment. So the closest I think we're going to get, or I've seen and writing a book, was Healthy Workforce Bill 45 that influenced legislators on the process, that the process of harassing can't be taken lightly. And it states that there are 46 resulting in state legislative sessions devoted heavily devoted to this, but 46 states were so involved in other budgeting constraints that they didn't get that involved. So 45 was in the hopper. It was on the hopper of the bill for 45, a healthy workforce bill for 45 states. But of those 45 states, only two adopted it. And that was on for 46 states and only two adopted it there. Let's talk about the costs associated with replacing talent. Replacement costs associated with the impact of workplace bullying, according to Lieber, showed organizations' bottom line was impacted by $1.2 million, with a single workplace bullying costing approximately $2 million. Now, again, I want to say this. This is a study done by Lieber in 2010. And we can see throughout these cases that have come up over and over again show that organizations' bottom line impact of a $1.2 million with a single workplace bullying costing approximately $2 million. So the bottom line is $1.2 million. with a cost of a workplace bullying act costing $2 million. That's a lot, people, for one person to come in and create chaos. And can you imagine if that chaos was throughout organizations and what people could really gleam on what it's costing organizations to get rid of that? Even if you have insurance that covers a lot of things that you may do as an organization, that insurance cost is going to constantly go up because they're having to pay out funds for you because of some of the acts that you're creating in this process if you allow this information, this kind of act to happen in your company. Employees are really afraid to report workplace bullies for fear of losing their jobs. And in this extreme job market, a lot of that is happening. But believe you me, people, when enough people come together and the right person gets in the room and comes together and they take this thing to court, your company could lose out drastically if you are practicing workplace bullying. There is some fear in one. But if too many people are being impacted by this workplace bullying and by one person, and they start taking that to court and this information gets raised up throughout about the organization and they find out the leaking, the source of it. This could cause a lot of chaos for an organization and to the point it could bankrupt an organization due to the costs related to this. Now, there are some tough economic times that we're all experiencing again, but one, people will only take so much. They'll have the knowledge and skills, but even talk about your organization once these people leave your organization and they're talking about the organization having workplace bullies, it will hurt you. And even though the bully may be winning momentarily, it will not last long. Okay? Let's look at another example. When I was doing my research, I found that there was an organization where a manager, he lacked the knowledge and skills and personnel to manage people. He has the power that no one can explain. And he liked everyone goes along with him. Well, he didn't like this. Excuse me. Everyone would go along with him in doing whatever he said and attacked others. The workplace bullying in his case was overt, but it was subtle. He could include repeated comments that seek to undermine or deliberately exclusion of people from meetings and being taken out of important decision-making roles and being added to email lists as an afterthought or receiving constant unwarranted criticisms from other managers and having their staff reportedly directly to another, thus undermining their authority, people's authority. And this has been seen in organization, and this is an example of workplace bullying, and it happens. And a lot of times, sometimes the top leadership don't know, but sometimes the top leadership will know, and this causes a challenge. We have to remember, too, that bullying has a different meaning for a lot of different people, definitions. And the overall team, though, it's always the misuse of power on the position. And so many people are accustomed to not having power and a position that they use it in the wrong way. They get promoted too high up sometimes before they've had a chance to smell the beans and the coffee at the level that they are and understand what they mean. And then they'll take that to the next level and suggest that that intentional forcing is the way to go in order to achieve results. And it's not. And so we had another comment from an individual on bullying. So you can see my mailbox has been filled with individuals writing me this information. A classic example, they said, was they had this person that had came in to work with them and they had been bullied as a child. And we see that workplace bullying is, and when we go back and examine the people, they were bullied as young children. And we can see pictures of them or thoughts of them or comments that they may make for those that they get close to that they possibly were bullied as children. And then they carry that forward to adulthood and use it to bully others in the workplace when it is not necessary. So this person had came in and had been bullied, but they used it and against others to in order to get what they wanted because they found that others got what they wanted from them by bullying them. And so that's a carryover and some type of therapy or other help is needed. All of this brings me back to something that's extremely important, knowledge of self. And we have said this over and over on many shows, emotional intelligence is important. And emotional intelligence means the knowledge of who I am and who I am in various events and what I want and what skill sets I have. Even though we don't spend a lot of money on talent management or career management, we need to help people. We need to show them that that is not the way, or this position may not be the best position for them, and that they need to do something else. We need to be honest about that. We need to be honest about the results that we're receiving and showing that. And even though we use numerical things to quantify our success, we need to use them in the right way. Some people don't know how to use numbers or know what numbers mean. I know many times I ask these questions, and some things are, it's very, and when I worked at in the banking industry, I could use numbers and it was easy to quantify the success through those numbers. But in a service type industry, other than getting relationships in banking and stuff, it's hard to use numbers to quantify what is qualifiable. Qualifiable dialogue and relationships with people are much more important and say a lot to the bottom line than the others. Because if you cannot change the information, not to say that numbers don't matter, because they really do, and they will show in other ways, but you have to build up the quality of the relationship that individuals have in a service type environment, say education, say consulting, say some of the other things, because in those quality of relationships, those relationships will bring you repeated revenue over and over again. And that's kind of how you may know objectively, or that this is really the working way to do things, and not necessarily is a subjective only to the information that we have available at the moment, and not real quantifiable, qualifiable information. So it takes a combination of both. And if you'll notice in many people that's getting a PhD or EdD in education, rather, they will find that they have to do more quality, subjective or research, where you're talking to people and qualifying the messages that are sent rather than the quantifiable information. When you use quantifiable information, it's more corrective and it makes things go in a direction that may not be the best direction for the organization that is trying to help out to master or build the competency levels that organization needs in order to be successful. As you can see, bullying can be very costly for an organization, costing millions of dollars for the organization to correct. It creates a big bit of stress on organizations. So if you find in organizations where you have individuals beginning to lay off work, take sick days when they usually did not take sick days, and all of a sudden they're out and they're sicker than usual, or they're having challenges at work due to illness, you may want to dive a little deeper into that and see if this is a situation where we have some workplace bullying occurring, and how do we correct that? Okay. So I hope you understood, and that organizations that are listening out there spend a little more time on workplace bullying. I think that Texas is one of those states that have laws against workplace bullying, but I hope to see more states join in and join the others that are doing things that help with workplace bullying, and working to having better tools on recruiting and retaining staff that decreases turnover, but increases and in bringing in the right individuals to organizations that are not bullying. So organizational cultures that we do know that foster workplace bullying are blue collar and unskilled workers may be more at risk, but gender and management may also be a salient factors for workplace bullying. And as expected, there are a number of negative emotional and psychological, medical, or social economic consequences in the aftermath of workplace bullying. So on that note, we thank you for joining us today on our show. And again, we hope to see more companies foster workplace bullying policies that help to embrace our network of people that are out in the job market. And this is one of the factors of that could really impede success for many organizations that we have out there. And we need to be really mindful because there's a skills gap in our economy and there's a talent gap in our economy. And so we have individuals that are getting jobs and trying to replace those old jobs with new jobs at the same level, but they don't have the skill set needed to manage people and processes effectively in order to get the most out of people and to build the most out of the product and the bottom line that the organization is trying to obtain. Thank you for joining us on our show today. You can reach me at Marilyn at drmarilyncarroll.com, or you can contact me at 214-301-1664. Thank you so much for joining us on our show today.